How long have you been doing this type of work? You look like you're only 19 years old.
19? I have 22.
Okay.
Okay, and I draw and I work since 15.
15?
Okay. And I love graffiti when I was 11.
You were a refugee when you were 11?
I love it. It's my generation, hip-hop.
I'm sorry, I thought you said you were a refugee. You said you were doing graffiti since you were 11.
No way, I saw. And I work with the people in the street for the dance or this kind of dance.
Okay.
And music.
Where are you? Are you with a gallery, or where do you show in Paris? Or is it all in the street?
I show in the bar, the restaurants, in the gallery, everywhere, in the apart, in the flats.
Okay. I just spoke with who was his son, Seven? I believe
yes.
his name.
It's
are
friend.
You in the same studio with?
Yes.
So you're
we work in the same
flat,
same place.
Okay. Is there a name for your group or?
VAO.
VAO, which means?
Vandal Artist Organisé.
Okay, that's good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm so sorry.
Pleasure from her. To you. No, it's quite all right.
Thank you.
I think you did very well. Thank
it's
you
nice
for,
we'll for me to be here.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ephemerin. Nice name.
Thank you.
Okay, you're one of the artists in the show
right.
here at the Tillery Gallery. And a wonderful piece. I feel small when I stand next to it. Can you talk about your work a little bit? Just describe what it is you're doing? Yeah? Well, some specifics if you can.
I like to capture daily moments in life and make them in my work. I mean, I try to capture an emotion and try to make the audience feel what I feel at this moment. The piece I did, it's about confinement and about feeling yourself little. Because I went to Shanghai and I made a lot of pictures, I made a lot of drawings.
Shanghai.
I came back on Sunday. So it's really recent, and because it was my streets, my
city.
Memories
are still in your... Yeah. Okay.
And that's one of the drawings I did there, because the impression of the city is really big, because it's really loud and really different, and people are different. So.
Yeah. The photographs, are they from Shanghai?
Yeah, that's, yeah, everything.
Okay. And the material you use for the figures, is that drawn, painted? Or?
It's black scotch tape.
Dominic really shows up well.
I use a projector and I project a drawing, so it's really much bigger.
Okay. Can you describe what's the relationship between, or maybe you have, between the photographs and the large?
Well, it's, yeah, like I explained, it's just all the images I made in Shanghai and the impressions that the city gave on me, because it was really... claustrophobic, yeah. That I felt a little bit
closed in.
Yeah, it's a self-portrait, the big one. Uh-huh. So that's why, yeah, and that's
the
why
scale
I put,
is different,
yeah,
the way it's
why I put all the drawings all around it, like really closing it in.
It works. Yeah, it works real well. Really nice. You're doing a room at the Winston Hotel, the infamous Winston Hotel.
Is it infamous in
Hamilton?
Yeah,
yeah. It's been around for years. A lot of people have gone there to stay there, and a lot of artists have done work there. In fact, I did a room myself there about 4 years ago, 3 years ago. But now you're there to do a room. Is it something we can talk about now, or is it a surprise?
Of course it's a surprise, but the basic theme is dreams and people sleeping, so that it's like a hotel room. I mean, the main purpose for being there is sleeping, because I think people visiting Amsterdam aren't going to be in their rooms a lot,
right.
Or I hope so for them. So I drew a lot of sketches of people sleeping, and then I was thinking about creating fish to be the dreams.
Fish?
Yeah, to float around in the space.
Okay.
It's a little weird to explain, but you'll see what it gives.
Okay. You're going to start this room to work on it next week?
No, tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
On Monday, so it's going to be finished in 3 days.
So it has to be done this weekend. Ooh, tough one.
Yes.
So you won't have any time to see Amsterdam, or...
But I live in Antwerp, so it's
okay,
really
so
close
it's
by.
A big deal.
I visit from time to time. Yeah.
Do you consider yourself a graffiti artist?
Not really. I do stickers in the street. I do stickers in the street and
stickers in the street.
Occasionally, I'll do a graffiti piece, but like once a year. So it's not really.
What kind of stickers?
Portraits as well, like people going through emotions, visible emotions that. A viewer who passes by is really caught by the intensity, because I think most images in the street are a bit dry. So by throwing all these emotions onto them, I try to create a little shock.
Okay. Sounds like it would do that.
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay, well, that was a fulfilling moment of interview with you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
I'll let you go back and mingle with your colleagues,
yeah. Okay,
and
I will.
We'll see you at the Winston.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Clyde Nolan, right?
Yeah.
Which is not your name. It's your real name.
My real name, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Clyde, can you tell us something about your work, the work you're doing for this exhibition?
Yes. So I'm an artist, and basically here I'm doing what I call my electronic painting.
Electronic painting?
Yeah, in a way. And basically it's urban landscapes, trying to, well, it looks rather abstract to some people, but
yeah,
for me I think it's really almost like figurative, so like this kind of painting.
Sorry, yeah, it's
no camera.
Yeah, it does,
so,
look,
yeah, you know,
very abstract.
But well, for me, it's really like so figurative. But basically, I'm calling this also a jungle urban, so that would be urban jungle, you know, in English.
Okay.
And so, because I used to live in Paris for 20 years,
uh-huh,
and going on
you
roof.
Live where now? You live in here?
Now in Brussels.
You live
so
in Brussels.
The painting behind is like La Gare du Midi, you know, the railway station, midnight landscape on Gare du Midi. And basically, so I paint these with bombs as spray cans, as nowadays, I think, you know, it's a reference to terrorism. It's a bad word, but, you know, this violent stuff that surrounds us, and I think it's a good, a good support. How can I say that? A good material to paint with, as a bomb, because graffiters are terrorists, you know, for the city. So,
yeah,
I do my paintings with this kind of painting also.
Okay. No. You see yourself as a terrorist?
No, but yeah, I mean, yeah, let's say art terrorists in a way, you know, because we destroy many things in the streets, so...
Well, in one man's, like they say, one man's nightmare is another man's dream.
Uh-huh.
I love it.
And
they find it necessary to have someone who affects
public
life like that. I tend to think that, I mean, I've sort of been away from it for a few years since living here in Amsterdam.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sort of, it's refreshing to see this show, because the last time I saw graffiti art, it was mostly letters and...
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know,
I love it now, actually. I really love it now. I think we're having a new step in art with... And I hear this word, like, street art, because what we're doing here in this exhibition is contemporary art. I mean... It's really influenced by city, by all this, this wide world surrounding us, mondialization, I don't know what the English word for this, but, you know, electronic, internet, I don't know, it's really becoming much more interesting, and I love working with these artists, because...
Designers?
No, but they are much more generous in a way, they're always ready to do collective work. They're not really narrow-minded artists, you know, as most artists are, I would say. I'm with both, and I'm having much more fun with these guys, so...
What's the oldest graffiti artist you've met?
I don't know. I don't know. Well, Sunset is not old, but it's been like, you know, basically he's my mentor. You say that? Mentor, like teacher, you know. He's the one who approved my name, my graffiti name. He said, oh, Jesus, this is good. You can do Jesus.
Well,
you know?
I'm asking this question. It's like I said, I'm familiar with that first generation graffiti artists. Food for Chira 2000, A1, Devo, Jean-Michel. We're talking mid-80s, early 80s, which is approximately about 25, 26 years ago, which sort of like places those guys in their 50s.
Yeah, right.
Some of them.
Babu is quite old, actually.
Yeah.
He started...
But I guess my question is, do you still do graffiti art when you're 50? You're in your 50s? Are there any old graffiti artists?
GF is... You know GF? Raj? 156. He's a Belgium. He's like one of the only. He's a good friend of John Wan. No, he's in Belgium. But he went to New York, to Paris, and he's not really old, but he's like 35, 36. So
he's young.
Yeah, he's young, but you know.
156.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess he's the oldest I know. You know.
No, because I'm curious because there seems to be the kind of an expression where you have to have the energy to get out and do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
actually,
if you're caught.
Yeah.
That's part of it, not being caught.
When I get caught, they're asking me why I do this, you know, and I say, look, I do this because it's like, for me, it's a game, and I'm feeling maybe bad about growing up, being older, you know, so it's like when you're playing cats and dogs, you know, when you're kids, you know, it's the same. So you are the cats, we are the dog. You got me tonight, but, you know, many nights.
What do they do with
ice cakes?
Is it fine? Or?
Oh, it's fine. No, it's, well, you know, usually you have to eat, I don't know, maybe one day, you know, it's
you
a bit long.
Keep your tail for one day.
But that's why I don't consider myself like a graph reader, because I went to police station maybe 4 or 5 times maximum, so yeah. I think it's not much, you know, so. And I'm very polite. Once, you know, I'm not. I know the. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm sorry, but. I'm just not trying to be hypocrite. I said, look, well, while I'm staying here, do you want a painting in your horrible prison, you know? Can I do something for you, you know?
They put you to work if you do graffiti in prison, right?
No,
what is the most daring place you've seen graffiti done or a tag done?
I love Amsterdam. I really love Amsterdam. That, you know, it comes.
That's not the question. The question is, what is the most daring place, situation
like
you have seen?
Daring.
Graffiti?
I'm
yeah,
sorry, like I don't
scary
get it. Scary.
Or dangerous, like a height or.
Actually, that's my painting comes from. I love to climb, so I used to climb on roofs, actually, to escape from this jungle, and because it was the. So, yeah, I love climbing, and I guess, and I started to do graffiti on roofs, so I have more time, and, you know.
How high up do you go to do your graffiti?
Well, you know, in Paris, basically it's like seven floors maximum, yeah. So, yeah, of course, yeah, outside. Yeah, I think it's, otherwise it's not like graffiti. If it's inside, you know, or doing graffiti in a gallery, you know, it's like.
Something like that is exciting.
Yeah. So, yeah, yeah.
The most exciting place I saw graffiti, and, well, was the World Trade Center, number 2. I don't know how someone did this. But
who did it?
I don't know. I think it was Sane or Smith, or it may not have been a known tag, but it was on the outside, all the way up on the very top floor where the restaurant, on the building where the restaurant was. I think it was World Trade Center number 2. I don't know how someone got outside to do this, but every time I see graffiti anywhere on the street, the first one I think about when I say, "Well, I can't beat the one that I saw in the World Trade Center."
Yeah, that's
it's not there anymore,
incredible.
So I can't prove it. But nevertheless, that was the most daring one that I have ever seen.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy.
Pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, thanks. All right, see you later.
We'll see you later. Thank you.
See you. I'm
That's it.
Siege. Okay. Your work is portraits or yeah. What you have here?
I'm from graffiti, but I just wanted to work on portraits, start working on artistic activity.
Okay.
I kept graffiti as a hobby. And I work on portraits, on smiley portraits
okay.
of anonymous people.
Smiling artists. Portraits?
Smiling portraits. Okay. All the time. Because they all say siege. Instead of saying, say cheese, they say siege. See what I mean? So they all have the smile.
Okay. Who's the portrait of?
This portrait, I think, is Henry Fonda.
Henry Fonda?
Yeah, I got this picture. I got the portrait from a picture from a Ray-Ban campaign in the 60s, 70s. So I like using lost people. I mean, they're not lost, but, you know, they kind of forgotten people and putting them back.
Okay. Into but the you've story. Used this image repeatedly.
This one, yeah. This one is an image I used a few times. Like, for example, this still screen next to the picture. I made 100 examples.
Right.
Hand still screen, so I'm really attached to this. This is the only portrait I did a few times. I put it on the billboard.
Right.
I put one up in Paris, Place Stalingrad, which is still there.
Okay.
And this is the only one I did a few times. That's it. Yeah.
Okay, but how do you put it on the wall? Is it? It's not silk screen. Is it done with a stencil?
Oh, the big one. Okay,
yeah.
I grow it up with a rétro projecteur.
Okay, projector.
That's right. It. Or other ways, by printing big all the layout, big print, and after I painted, hand painted, and I put up in Paris on the walls with a special mix, special glue, and
special mix paint.
That's it. No, the paint is just acrylics that I paint with a brush or with a brush usually.
But you said it was specially mixed.
The glue is.
The glue is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Each like artist has a secret.
Has a secret.
Exactly.
Secret.
Yeah.
Paint and glue.
Yeah, it has to do with because you have to. Your glue has to resist water, which is really my worst enemy. Water, then comes the wind.
Heat and cold.
Heat and cold. The problem with the cold is that when you glue something, like in the middle of winter, especially in Paris, it doesn't glue.
Yeah.
So it falls down. And when you spend like a half a day painting a poster like that, which are maybe 3 meters high on 2 meters 50 from wide, you don't want it to fall down. I started doing my work on billboards. Four meters by three billboards.
Were they like sneak attacks on billboards?
Exactly, yeah. Everything is really kind of illegal. Gluing stuff is more tolerated, so that's why
it is more tolerated.
It is much more, because in France, for example, if it's not written on the wall, it's illegal, or it's like it's forbidden to glue things, like from a law in July 1881 or something like that. If it doesn't have this sentence written on the wall, you can put a poster on it. So I don't know, it's illegal, but it's tolerated. I got arrested three times, and
you get around it by putting a poster on the wall, and then you do work on the poster.
Actually, no, I have a studio in Paris, in Belleville, with the other guys, and I just paint them on the floor, on my knees, poor knees. And I just wait. Oh, nice! I just wait for the paint to dry, and I roll them up. And I actually unroll the paper from bottom to top, and I put it. It's like sometimes it comes like in four or three layers of 80, 90 centimeters wide paper, and just unroll it up, and it just goes
up.
That's
a better way to do it. You can make a real nice work, and the place where you place it at can be so strategically great.
It is actually. I had the opportunity to have graphic art and visual communication studies. So I studied about everything, all the ads and also the places where they put billboards, because you really like when you stop at a red light in your car. Sometimes you have a poster right in front of you. If you look at on the right, you have one too. So everywhere you look, you put posters. Especially in the suburbs, it's really, really vicious.
In the suburbs.
So yeah, in the suburbs, in the outskirts. So if I get inspired by what it's done, by all the ads and stuff, all the publicity guys, well, my work is going to be seen. This is why I put up my posters, my faces on really, really visible places. And plus, this is like I did black and white faces. But the thing is with my faces, my black and white faces, is that they all have a yellow tooth. This is my little ding, my little touch of humor.
The gold tooth.
They all have a gold tooth. Because you know, like a lot of people work on printing, black and white paint printing. And I just don't want to fall in that. I want my portraits to be unique, hand painted, and with one little color, one little touch, personal touch.
It becomes your signature.
That's it. Basically. So now, like, yeah, you can follow my all my portraits in Paris with the golden tooth.
Right. Okay. Now, if somebody else does a portrait black and white with a golden tooth, what do you do?
People would think it's me. That's all.
So it doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter. Just try. You know, people tell, hey, I like to make a big fat colored face on the billboard. So okay, you can do it, but people are going to think it's me. So. But
even, just tell everybody when they say, "Hey, I saw one of your pieces," even if it's not yours, you tell them it's yours.
And I'm not making fun of people, and I'm kind of humble. But it's just a fact. When you do something and that's all you do, people shouldn't do what you do, because the other people that know your work are going to think you did something. Well, anyway, everything gets mixed up, and people don't understand why. They can't
well,
do
let me
it.
Ask you another. This will be the last question, then we'll let you go in. I know you're busy just before they open.
I want my back.
In Paris. Paris has some very interesting, I would think, posters of fashion and brands and logos. Is that something that you play on? That you, with your images, your posters, do you...
I could.
Just to suppose something next to it and try to...
Well, the thing is, I like making big faces, and I don't find all the places I want in Paris. Especially when I have to, like, you know, I have to get a big ladder, because I do things up high. After my ladder, I have to have my brush, my everything. So, on and on, I'm having these little techniques, putting stuff on wheels, dragging it behind me, and people are just staring at me, what the fuck is this guy doing, you know?
There he goes again.
And I just put up my posters. At daytime, but yeah, we're talking about fashion. This portrait of Henry Fonda, which people shouldn't know it's him because I don't know, you know about rights. Anyway, you can't recognize him. I just, you know, he looks much thinner. And this picture, I sold this picture to Agnès B, this famous fashion brand, Agnès B in France, and I sold like more than 1,000 t-shirts with them of this. This face.
Yeah. Does he know what you're doing him?
Not at all. I'd like to get in touch. I'd like to know him. Yeah, actually, I like to meet all the actors I'm using, because that's not the only one I did.
In Paris.
Robert Wagner. Michael Landon, you know, the Little House on the Prairie.
Why do you do all the 70s?
Because the guys got old and people forgot them. I grew up in front of the TV and I just have this memory of these guys being like real stars, you know, like, whoa. Like all the series you have on the TV, it's maybe the only ones that really I remember the most. I did Kojak. Like, this one is really nice. Kojak, Punchuelo and Ships, you know, not retired. Two motorbikes. No, two guys on motorbikes in San Diego.
Two motorcycles. Chips. Yeah.
I did Punchuelo.
Estrada. Eric Estrada.
That's it. And I put up his face. And what I like to get in touch with those guys and say, hey, I put a picture of you.
Because nobody's doing anything for them in the States.
People would just forgot them. Like Cheech and Chong, guys like that. Funny guys.
They've been good.
Yeah, famous smiles, you know? All saying Siege. Like, thanks, Siege, for putting my face up.
Siege, okay. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, too.
I enjoyed talking to you, and to success with your work.
Thanks a lot.
Get in touch with Henry Fonda. I'm sorry, with Peter Fonda.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, we got Nils Papkuma here, and I guess we would say Nils is the curator, the person who put all of this together. One of the people. Saskia.
I was helping her.
Okay.
Co-assistant,
okay. You want to tell us something about the idea of the exhibition? Or is it Saskia?
It's a collaboration of a lot of artists from France and from Belgium.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is, basically. They're from Paris, all graffiti writers.
Uh-huh. Writers?
Yeah, all graffiti writers. And some still do graffiti, and they're doing something... more now.
Okay. Yeah, I've noticed, and we've talked to a few of them who've explained some of the other things that they're doing. But you're also doing something at the infamous Winston Hotel.
Yeah.
Okay, can you tell me what your function is there or what you do with them?
At the moment, I can call myself a little bit like a curator there.
Okay.
Trying to find these artists and connect them with the sponsors.
Okay.
And if there's no sponsor, then you have to do it otherwise.
Okay. And that's to do what in particular with
the sponsor does what?
Yeah, that's recently we did an exhibition with Red Jacobs from New York.
Okay.
He's quite a famous artist in the United States.
Okay.
And Eastpak, he was doing a tour for Eastpak.
They're the company that makes what,
yeah,
backpacks?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And yeah, he also came down to Winston to do a room there. He just did some.
And that was sponsored by Eastpak.
Eastpak, okay. Yeah, yeah. That's
okay.
That's right.
I understand now. Okay. All right. Now sponsor means what? They actually pay for the room or pay him or?
Yeah. Just they pay the artist.
They pay the artist.
Like a part of the material cost that came by.
Okay.
Yeah, of course, it generates a lot of publicity for the for the artist, for Winston Hotel, and for Eastpak.
Right. So it's a good idea. Everybody wins.
Yeah, yeah. That's a win-win-win situation.
Right, right. As they say in other places outside of the art world. Well, your work, do you have any works in this exhibition? I saw you doing something on the floor over there. Is that?
I'm really low-fi exhibition.
Low-fly?
Low to the ground.
Okay. But so you're working on the floor in this exhibition?
Yeah, the theme of the exhibition is the My Streets, My City.
Right.
And as I live in the city, I thought, like, yeah, why shouldn't I just put the work on the floor?
Right.
There's a lot of artists. Artists already on the walls,
right.
So there was a little bit of space crisis.
Okay.
So I thought, yeah, why not doing it on the floor?
Nobody else is on the floor, right?
No. That's right. I even got my name, my name badge I put on the floor. I got it in my hands right now.
So you got the floor all to yourself?
Yeah, I can, like, go
all out. Your work, can we, are there other places in Amsterdam where we can see your work?
Yeah, also in the Winston Hotel. And
okay.
At the moment, no, that's not. Mostly when I do exhibitions, it's like temporary thing where I'm working on.
Okay.
At the moment, I work for an exhibition in Rotterdam for Children Museum.
Okay.
That's the next project.
What is that? Is that going to be a wall piece or a floor piece? Or
build like a planet, and in the I've got to do the exhibition in the planet. It's based on the story of the Little Prince. So with a group of seven artists, we're going to do this.
Make that story realize itself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It has to do with adults. How adults and children relate to each other.
Okay, okay.
That's what it is. So okay. Like the story of the Little Prince.
Okay. Very good. Well, we don't want to hold you too long, Nils. We know you want to get back to the floor and finish your work off because the exhibition opened 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
You're late.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nils.
Okay.
I
appreciate it.
I guess that's going to close it for Radio Free Amsterdam and Image Makers program. We'd like to thank everybody for listening to the program this afternoon in the center of Amsterdam. And, yeah, we're going to try to enjoy this opening. There are a lot of people coming in now at this moment in Tillery Gallery. And, yeah, join us again when we talk once again on Image Makers on Radio Free Amsterdam. Thank you very much. My name is Anthony Morrell. Victim, you
as we hardly can see him. There goes a crowd moving, and a pulse is in, and I've always been a fan. Jump, jump, let's make the great escape. All due respect to all for our sake. Jump, jump, we're gonna have some fun.
For www.above.secret.com.
It's time once again for
Mondo Bizarro.
Mondo Bizarro is brought to you by the mentally challenged, the politically incorrect, and the continuing fall and decline of civilization as we know it. And now, from some hole in the ground, here's Johnny Anonymous.
And welcome, friends, to episode 31 of the Mondo Bizarro Show. I'm Johnny Anonymous, and I will be your proofreader of the weird. All facts and reports are 100% genuine and true. So let's see now if we can find any mistyped sentences and mistakes in this week's Mondo Bizarro.
Real Bizarro News.
Firefighters in Essex came to the rescue of a young boy who had a toilet seat stuck on his head. The boy, aged 2.5 years old, and his worried mother went to Braintree Fire Station after she was unable to get the small trainer seat off his head, reports the BBC. Firefighter Chris Cox said, "We put some dishwashing liquid on his head and ears, and it slid off nice as pie." The boy was very brave and didn't make a fuss, and once we had gotten the seat off, he toddled away as happy as can be. Mr. Cox added the boy had put his head through it and couldn't get it out again. He came in here wearing it just like a collar. His mother had tried to get it over his head but couldn't budge it, so she walked him down here and asked us to have a look at it. And we went to work right away, and we finally managed to get it off in no time at all. A German man has admitted living in the woods near Berlin for over 28 years after his girlfriend threw him out of their flat. Conrad Schmidt, now age 60, said, "My fiancée threw me out and so I came here, and I've been here ever since. I really don't want any contact with people. I get a bit of money collecting bottles people have left here in the woods, and that's all I really need." A man cut off his penis with a knife in a packed restaurant in central London. Police had to use gas to restrain the man in the ZZ Pizza restaurant in the Strand, reports the BBC. He was taken to the hospital in South London, where surgeons were reportedly unable to reattach his penis. A Metropolitan Police spokeswoman said he was aged between 30 and 40 years old and confirmed his injuries were self-inflicted. A spokesman for the ZZ restaurant said the man was not thought to have any connection with the restaurant. She also said at around 9 p.m. on Sunday, a man walked into the ZZ restaurant on the Strand, went down the stairs to the basement restaurant, and tried to enter a kitchen. Members of the restaurant staff stopped him, at which he ran into a second kitchen area. The man then picked up a kitchen knife and slashed himself across the wrist, the groin area, and then started running back into the restaurant, where he continued to stab himself repeatedly. This happened in a matter of seconds and was obviously extremely frightening and distressing for many customers and staff in the restaurant at that time. She added, apart from the man, we understand that no one else suffered any physical injuries in the restaurant. A German man tried to sleep off his hangover in a bank, accompanied by his horse. Wolfgang Heinrich, age 40, from Weissenberg, had been riding with his Hofflinger horse, Sammy, when he stopped to have a drink with his friends. But when he left the pub, he realized he was too drunk to ride all the way home and decided to use his bank card to open up his bank and take himself and Sammy inside to it to sleep it off. Heinrich and his horse were found in the early hours of the morning by a fellow customer. Stephen Honnold, age 36, said it was a bit of a shock to find a man and a horse asleep in the bank. I rang the police straight away. Heinrich was let off with a warning and he later rode home. But bank staff were less than impressed when they arrived and had to clean up after the horse. Plans for parents to be notified by text messages when children play truant had to be scrapped after learning that teachers admitted they didn't know how to send them. Local education authorities in Cologne, Germany, dropped the plans after it was found teachers would have to go back to school to learn how to send text messages. The head of the local Liberal Party, FDP, Uli Barrick, who wanted the message system introduced, said, "We wanted a simple way for teachers to inform parents if their child was absent. When I heard that we would need to arrange user instructions, I just couldn't believe it. I was told that many teachers wouldn't know how to send these text messages."
Bizarro Holidays.
Your monthly observances end with Stress Awareness Month, Southern Bells Month, Women's Eye Health and Safety Month, Workplace Conflict Awareness Month, and International School Spirit Season. Your weekly observances conclude with, through the 27th, it's National Playground Safety Week, Electronics Communications Week. Through the 28th, it's National Spoken Word Week, Administrative Professionals Week, National Karaoke Week, Jewish Heritage Week, Innovation Week, National Window Safety Week, Sky Awareness Week, and Week of the Young Child. Through the 29th, it's National Dance Week, National Wildlife Week, National TV Turnoff Week, and National Crime Victims' Rights Week. Through the 30th, it's National Scoop the Poop Week. Your daily calendar of events are, on the 26th, it's Hug an Australian Day, Richter Scale Day, and Take Our Daughters and Sons to Work Day. On the 27th, it's Arbor Day, Mantanza's Mule Day, and National Hairball Awareness Day. On the 28th, it's Rebuilding Day, Sense of Smell Day, Workers Memorial Day, and World Tai Chi Day. On the 29th, it's Mother Father Death Day, and National Dance Day. On the 30th, it's National Honesty Day, Hairstylist Appreciation Day, International Walk Day, Spank Out Day, and Walpurgis Night Day.
Bizarro Facts!
Ancient Egyptians shaved off their eyebrows to mourn the deaths of their cats. Buckingham Palace has 602 rooms. Odontophobia is the fear of teeth. Sailfish can leap out of the water and into the air at speeds of 50 miles per hour or 81 kilometers per hour. A Czech man named as Jan Hansa Zampa holds the record for drinking 1 liter of beer in 4.11 seconds. The word lethologica describes the state of not being able to remember the word you want. The average cough comes out of your mouth at 60 miles or 96.5 kilometers per hour. A skunk smell can be detected by a human over a mile away. In ancient Scotland, every leap year, maidens were allowed to ask a man to be their husband. Refusal to do so would cost him a pound. Babies are born without kneecaps. They don't appear until the child reaches 2 to 6 years of age. The word checkmate in chess comes from the Persian phrase shabat, which means the king is dead. A lion in the wild usually makes no more than just 20 kills a year. The ATM, or the automated teller machine, was first introduced in England in the year 1965. The length of the finger dictates how fast the fingernail will grow. Therefore, the nail on your middle finger grows the fastest, and on average, your toenails grow twice as slow as your fingernails. Icelanders consume more Coca-Cola per capita than any other nation. And speaking of Icelanders, Icelandic phone books sometimes contain people's occupations as well as their name. This is because so many people have the very same name. The only 15-letter word that can be spelled without repeating a letter is uncopyrightable. Did you know honeybees have hair on their eyes? The average human blinks their eyes 6,205,000 times every year. In ancient Greece, idiot means a private citizen or layman. A healthy adult can draw in about 200 to 300 cubic inches, which is around 3.3 to 4.9 liters of air in a very single breath. But at best, you only use about 5% of this volume that you've inhaled. To reach rivers and lakes where they spend most of their lives, many newborn eels swim for up to 3,000 miles nonstop. Well, friends, that's going to wrap up episode 31 of the Mondo Bizarro Show. We certainly hope you enjoyed it, and we'll come back next week. In the meantime, remember to keep your eyes towards the skies, but your feet on the ground. That's all, folks. Thank you.